Scripture reading is taken from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
And as I sang, "Take my hand," she put both her paws on my hand. I know she didn't understand, but I like to pretend that she did. That's one of my favorites. Thank you very much. Henry, thank you for doing our scripture reading for us this morning. And Martin and Susan for that beautiful song. It's lovely when family can serve the Lord together. Both Henry and Martin stood behind this lectern this morning, but with completely different perspectives on life and church. Today's message has its roots in what is probably an age-related change in perspective for me. Shall we bow our heads? Father, may your spirit lead, calm, and deliver. Draw us closer to you. Amen. The past 3 years, I have been to more funerals than I have collectively in the rest of my life. Some in person, and some by video link. And I'm sure most, if not all of you, can identify with that. The strange thing is, every time after the passing of a family member or a friend, I have the same words ringing in my head. The words from Psalm 90, and especially verse 12. Shall we read Psalm 90 together? It's only 17 verses. Some are a bit difficult, and some real treasures. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, like the watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This numbering of our days stuck with me. What does it mean to number our days? No one knows how many days they have been allocated in their life. Verse 10 tells us 70 or 80. But when you're young, when you're 9 years old, it's unimaginable. But when you're 50, 60, 70, or in your 80s, it's a different perspective. I recall when my daughter, Dominique, was a baby. As a mother, I was keen to monitor her progress, checking that she was reaching her developmental milestones. When someone said something quite sobering, "You think you have many years with your child, now only a baby, but ensure you make the most of every day and pack your memory full." Because the reality is, as a parent, we only get 18 Christmases, 18 summer holidays, 18 birthday celebrations, and a lot fewer Easter egg hunts before our children leave home. Fast forward 18 years, and it was the day we took Dominique to university. We helped her into her room, a shared uni flat with 10 other people. Arriving home, I remember a deep sense of being robbed. How was that 18 years? How did 18 years fly by that quickly? I personally find reassurance knowing that God knows the human nature. He knows we forget. He knows that we need teaching. An example of our forgetting and Him reminding us is how gently the word "remember" is inserted in the beginning of Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He knew we would forget. Similarly, the author of Psalms 90 starts verse 12 with "teach us." Teach us because it's not something that we do naturally. Numbering our days doesn't really come up in everyday conversation. The second half of verse 12 says that we may gain a heart of wisdom in the NIV translation. And in the King James Version, it says that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. When you think of a Bible character in terms of wisdom, Solomon comes to mind, does it not? There are 49 references to wisdom in the book of Proverbs alone. The dictionary definition of wisdom is the ability to think and act, utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. So wisdom comes through the above, but the above comes by age. I don't know about you, but I'm still unclear about the numbering of days. Could it be referring to living the dream, living our best life? What do we think of when we think of living our best life or someone living their best life? Money, Money makes everything happen, doesn't it? Perhaps getting a job, a better job, having a spouse, having a child, being debt-free, traveling. That's living your best life, isn't it? Some, if not all of us, would agree that living one's best life would mean that one was financially and or professionally upwardly mobile. Few would mention God first. The thing is, God did not create us for retirement, as attractive as that might be. He did not create us to lay about all day, focusing and prioritizing on ourselves. The Bible clearly outlines for us our best lives. We are to be upwardly mobile by following Jesus. Living our best life is to live the Jesus life. Numbering our days means pausing for regular consideration, taking stock, and an honest look at our days in the light of God's ways. Recognizing the finite gift of life on earth. Living our best lives, living the dream, with Christ enables us to forget our past. God's grace allows us to live with purpose, recognizing that we are made in God's image, Genesis 1:27, and that the work of redemption was completed on the cross, Ephesians 1:7. Let's consider six activities, ingredients, perhaps, that will enable us to live our best life. To live our best life, we need to seek. We need to seek God first. There can be no other God before God. Nothing should conflict with the time and attention we need to give God. And this is difficult for me. No hobbies, no movies, no television binging, no other person, no other activity should rob us of our time with God, not even sleep. I'm not saying we can't do any of those. I'm saying Christ first. The second is getting into the Word, as in properly getting into the Word, immersing ourselves in God's Word by reading and studying. This requires a true dedication of time. A few months ago, I asked God to wake me earlier. Without fail, every day, including weekends, he woke me earlier. And that reminds me of Proverbs 90:14. More recently, I asked God to structure my day so that I had time to spend with him. He woke me at 5 a.m. on a day I did not have to go to London. Totally awake, no hint of dozing off. And then he reminded me of why I was awake at 5 a.m. We serve an amazing God. Thirdly, Jesus is our best example. By spending time reading the Gospels, we get to know Jesus better. No matter how often we read the same passage, we gain new insights into the character of Jesus. Jesus' character is our example of how we should live in society today. Fourth, serve others. Use every opportunity to serve in the home, work, church, and community. The blessings to be gained by serving others is key to living our best life. It may seem a bit strange that service to others is the key to living our best life. But a study carried out at the New Jersey City University by Alan Lux found that serving others eased stress and improved both physical and emotional health. It strengthening the immune system's activity. It decreased the intensity and awareness of pain. It allowed for positive emotions that support overall well-being. It reduces negative attitudes and enhances the functioning of various body systems. It also states that serving others enhances a person's spiritual well-being. Wow. And I thought serving others was about humility. Fifth, share. Share Jesus through the giving of our time, energy, and love. We need to share with others, but we also need to share Jesus as we grow in him. And finally, trust. There is not a lot that we can trust today, but let's be trusting. Let's be trustworthy. Trust in God. Hebrews 13, verse 8, reminds us that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust that he has forgiven you. Ponder the words in Hebrews 10, verse 12 to 14, and Mark 3, 28. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven of all their sins. Trust that through Jesus we can have inner peace. Trust that he loves you. By trusting and submitting to God, we let him guide, protect, direct, and live our lives through us. Through a closer relationship with Christ, we are empowered to live our best life, even living the dream, so that we may sincerely be able to say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.